This episode of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine was made possible by contributions from slaves like you. Spanky very much.
In the next 40 to 50 years, we're going to see the extinction of more species than we've seen in the past 65 million years. That, to me, is a red light and a siren going off as a call to people who will cut through the crap and do what is necessary to protect the Earth for here and now and for future generations.
It's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine.
Good morning, slaves, and welcome to another edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine, the show that puts baby in a corner. I am your host, the Stimulator, and as capitalist pigs celebrated the end of the bear market, folks in British Columbia mourn the end of, well, bears. That John West TV commercial might seem funny now, but that's exactly what greedy humans have been doing to bears for years, stealing one of their main sources of food, the salmon. The Globe and Mail has reported that the collapse of salmon runs has triggered widespread death from starvation of black and grizzly bears.
You would normally see them gathering around these salmon streams and salmon producing systems. That was not happening. And it was because there was such low returns. Last year was one of the worst years for salmon returns on the Central Coast.
Salmon farming, clear-cut logging, hydroelectric dams, and plain old overfishing have fucked the Pacific salmon to such a degree that millions of fish went missing from this year's sockeye run. Yep, time is running out for nature, but motherfuckers are too worried whether or not Kanye should apologize to Taylor or not.
Yo, salmon, I'm really sorry I'm gonna let you finish, but tuna is the best fish of all time.
Things seem to be fucked all over, with droughts threatening to cause the starvation of millions in Central America, while in the United States, that douche drizzle that your mama calls Obama welcomed Michael R. Taylor to the Food and Drug Administration. That inbred-looking creep was VP at Monsanto for 8 years, a company that's notorious for contaminating the food supply with genetically engineered seeds, among other crimes against nature. Mr. Taylor will be advising the FDA on food safety issues. Over in Alberta, Greenpeace was trying to stop
the motherfucking tar sands
by dropping a couple of banners and locking themselves to a big-ass truck, only to leave the next day after the pigs promised not to arrest them. In West Virginia, folks did get arrested for locking themselves and blocking the entrance to the headquarters of those fart-catching coal crooks at Massey Energy. Motherfucking video ninja Flux Rustrum was one of those locked up for taping the action. Flux is one of 6 journalists arrested for covering direct actions against Massey.
When the police arrived, they quickly assessed the situation at the lockdown and immediately turned to me and said, turn your camera off, you're under arrest.
One of the activists arrested was Roland Micklem, an 81-year-old retired school teacher.
Because of the vanishing biodiversity, it depressed me to the point that I had to do something about it. I talked with my representatives in Congress and elected officials. None of it seemed to be doing much good. And I'm not sure that this is going to do all that much good.
Outside Seattle, some folks who got fed up with playing nice took down a couple of radio antennas. Residents of Everett, Washington have been fighting the erection of these towers for more than a decade to no avail. They claim the radio waves that the antennas emitted are harmful to humans and non-humans. Members of the Earth Liberation Front took responsibility for knocking the offending structures with an excavator. Here's what one of the neighbors thought of the action.
I was glad that this happened. It just made me think of the Boston Tea Party, that there's still some American bravo going on.
Yeah. We gotta build a new world, son. So don't just sit there. We gotta get up, get up, get up, get up, get up. Like that. Reconstruct the economy and let a fair model be created. Give the factories to the workers and the land to those who cultivated. Let natural resources be expropriated in the capital of multinational corporations. Confiscated. Start real debates to convince people that another world is possible. Breaking the obstacles set by the evil. No matter if you're black, white, Muslim, or Hebrew, we all divided in classes, son. It's time to see through all the phony facts offered by the press and television. They got masses adapted to a certain and they click suspicions. Time to start slanging subversive messages, cause monopolized propaganda turned people into hypocrites. But let them never be blamed, cause we're the one who got it
structure their thoughts, get facts and change brains. Gotta turn peeps into soldiers, not victims. Give them a chance to change the path the life gave them. Spread the word and settle bases in schools and workplaces. Utilize any medium to spread your information. Write articles and spread pamphlets. Write graffiti with your slogans to let people know what's happening. Let the movement be the main attraction. Let them see that a change is a possible result of every action. Gather the masses to let them know they real world. Cause if it ain't the people, who want revolutionize the world?
Until November 1999, most people did not have a fucking idea who the WTO was. After a massive protest, street blockades, and a few broken windows later, your average Joe had a vague idea who these capitalist fatherfuckers were. Same goes for Dawson's Creek. Until recently, Dawson's Creek was masturbation material for white suburban teenage girls. That is, until... Yep. A pissed off person or group of pissed off persons have been bombing natural gas pipelines since October of last year. Now the sleepy town of Dawson's Creek is a place where scores are settled by blowing shit up, where hundreds of cops are deployed to find the culprit, and where $1 million bounties are offered. Convicted gas pipe saboteur Weibo Ludwig wrote an open letter to the bomber asking her to stop the boom boom.
I've been there. I've wanted to do terrible things to the industry because of what was happening to us here. Not because I want to pay them back, but to stop them somehow because they wouldn't listen.
To unravel the most exciting story since Michael Jackson's White Offspring, I bring you Chris Arsenault, a journalist with the Interpress News Agency. Hey Chris, how the fuck are you?
I'm good, very good, thank you.
So, what the fuck has been happening in Dawson's Creek?
Beginning in October 2008, there have been 6 controlled explosions in the Dawson Creek area, focusing on sour gas pipelines. Sour gas is an extremely dangerous byproduct of the natural gas industry. 500 to 1,000 parts per million will kill you dead. So somebody has been launching controlled explosions against the pipelines that carry this stuff. And up until now, the RCMP and the Integrated National Security Enforcement Teams, INSET, have no serious suspects. 250 apparently elite officers have been sent to the area. Dawson Creek is a community of about 10,000, and Tom's Lake, which is the area where most of this stuff has actually been happening, isn't even a town. There's a few hundred residents. So it's very rural, and it's in the midst of a very major boom in unconventional natural gas extraction. The bomber has, on July 15th, that was the last communique, and the bomber sent a handwritten letter to the Dawson Creek Daily News advising Encana, which is the largest natural gas company in North America, a firm with substantial holdings in that area, that they had 3 months to cease their operations, or with the implicit idea that more attacks would follow.
Excuse me. So what the fuck is sour gas?
Sour gas is hydrogen sulfide. So it's the sourness, it means it's contaminated with this chemical, hydrogen sulfide. And 500 parts per million means there's all kinds of different chemicals within natural gas. There's 500 ppm means that 500 parts of a million parts of the gas would be hydrogen sulfide, and that's an extremely toxic chemical. So hydrogen sulfide has been at the kind of center of most of the main sabotage against gas industries in Canada, simply because flaring the chemical, which means burning it uselessly from stacks, or contaminations from the chemicals, whether it be leaks of sour gas, exposure to it, those kinds of things have been linked to the deaths of cattle and, in some cases, stillbirths from humans.
Do the people of the area think the bomber is a terrorist?
At one police press conference, somebody from the Integrated National Security Enforcement Team said that these communities of Dawson Creek and Pouce Coupe are, quote, being terrorized by the bomber. Well, that's not exactly true. I spent 2 weeks there. I talked to a number of farmers, talked to the mayor of Pouce Coupe, who's a very ardent supporter of the gas industry because it's bringing so much wealth to the area. And the mayor told me just simply, look, most people in this area are more scared of bears than they are of eco-terrorists.
Is there sympathy in the town for the bomber?
If there is fear in the area, it's coming from the police, not from the bomber. I think that's quite fair to say. As for support, nobody I talked to said they supported the bomber, but I think one school teacher said, you know, look, we've been doing this by the books, legally, playing by the rules for the last 10, 15 years. Nobody's cared. We've gotten virtually no coverage. Now this happens and everybody's interested in what's going on up here. So I think the basic idea is that playing by the rules, filing petitions, court hearings, studies, these things aren't very sexy. But when you start blowing things up, people start paying attention.
Why is the reward for the bomber so high?
One of the local tabloids here in Vancouver had a picture that was Wild West style of wanted bomber, $500,000. That bounty over the summer has since been raised to $1 million by Encana for the bomber. That's likely the largest bounty in Canadian history. So I asked somebody from Encana about this, and they said, you know, well, we just want this thing concluded, and we're worried about the safety of our subcontractors and our people, and we just want to see this stop. I find that highly debatable. One, because local residents aren't too scared of this. Two, because the damage this bomber has caused can't be anywhere close to $1 million. So there's something else at play here. And here's what I think is happening. Getting oil or gas out of Canada in this day and age, in the 21st century, is significantly more expensive than getting it from other areas. If you're looking at the tar sands, you're looking at least $35 a barrel, mas o menos. And if you're talking about unconventional natural gas in the BC piece, it's far more expensive than conventional gas. But Canada has an advantage. It has political stability, and it operates under quote-unquote market mechanisms, which means there's not a proper state-run oil company, so private companies can come in and take what they want with fairly low royalty rates. What the bomber is doing is upsetting that notion of stability. And that is what gives Canada's oil industry its comparative advantage against other places. If Canada is to become unstable, a lot of the oil will stay in the ground. There's two main things driving financial markets, two main causes driving oil markets. These are simple. Fear on the one hand, greed on the other. Right now, greed is the dominant force in governing Canadian oil, Canadian gas. That's why you've seen 10,000 wells drilled in BC since 2000. That's why you've seen the tar sands become the biggest industrial project in the world. And it's important to note that much of the gas coming from BC, or a significant portion of the gas coming from BC, is being piped to the tar sands. So the whole energy industry is connected. And right now, the recession has limited it somewhat. But greed, I'd say, is still the driving force. If that balance changes in favor of fear, the industry will change drastically. And I think that's what the bomber is trying to attack. And that's why Encana is offering such a huge bounty, is because they want greed to be the dominant force, not fear.
And that about does it for this edition of It's the End of the World, so we know it and if you'll find. This salacious edition was made possible with the financial support of Dan, Kathleen, Louise, Christine, Michael, Peter, Remo, Jessica, Martin, and Patrick, Chumbawamba. I also want to let y'all know that I've released another piece of my upcoming film, NCIV. So go to ncif.com to check that shit out. And may the forest be with you.
Remember, kids, you can podcast high-quality video of this show at submedia.tv.